We will now take up Senate Bill 28, which authorizes South Dakota to participate in the revised Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision. Representative Dunham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 28 seeks to allow South Dakota to participate in a revised compact covering interstate adult offender supervision. There is a current compact allowing interstate offender supervision, and it's found in SDCL 24-16. This would replace that. The current compact has been in effect since 1937. There are over 4 million offenders on probation and parole in the United States today, and we estimate, and it could be a low estimate, that 250,000 will cross state lines this year. Offenders who travel from state to state are overseen by different local parole and probation offices and many different agencies. This fragmented system makes it nearly impossible to adequately account for all offenders. And I think managing these offender populations is becoming increasingly complex. State and local governments are passing measures dealing with special offender and high-risk groups, such as registration of sex offenders and notification of victims when they go to other locations. But probation and parole must be able to satisfy compliance requirements, track the location, and smoothly transfer supervision authority. This isn't happening as well as it should. 35 states must pass this legislation before it may take effect. The 2000 legislative session across the country was the first time states had the opportunity to consider the revised compact. It was passed and signed into law in 9 states. And in most legislatures, you can check on the internet too, it is being considered. And for further comments, I would call on Ms. Lori Feiler from the Department of Corrections.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 28.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lori Feiler with the Department of Corrections.
Welcome.
Thank you. Interstate compacts are simply agreements between the states, and they're authorized by the U.S. Constitution. There are more than 200 compacts currently in existence, really covering a wide variety of topics, including conservation, education, waste disposal, and so on. As Representative Dunafin said, Senate Bill 28 seeks to allow South Dakota to participate in a revised interstate compact for adult offender supervision. The current interstate compact agreement is codified in 24-16 of South Dakota codified law. This bill, if passed, would replace that existing compact. The bill is really brought on the request of both the Department of Corrections and the Unified Judicial System. The way correctional programming is organized really varies from state to state, and in South Dakota, as I think most of the committee members are aware, adult parole is under the Department of Corrections for people who have done a prison term and now are on supervised release. Adult probation is under the Unified Judicial System. And probation generally is for folks pre-incarceration. They can be on felony probation, but they most of the time have not been at the penitentiary. So this bill governs the supervision of both probationers and parolees. In South Dakota, there are currently 37 people on active parole supervision from other states. Conversely, we have over 300 South Dakota adult parolees housed out of state. So as my boss would say, that's a really good deal, that we have that kind of balance. It's a very good tool to have. It's used generally for a person who is, let's say, a resident of another state, resident of Minnesota. They come over to South Dakota and they get into trouble and they end up on correctional supervision, but they'd like to go back home to do that supervision where perhaps their family is, where perhaps their employment is, and so on. As Representative Dunafin said, in order for this revised compact to become effective, it has to be passed by 35 states. 9 states have passed it. Based on the information on the internet, it looks like there are 15 states who actively have legislation going right now. 2 of them, it's passed both houses, and the remaining 13, it's somewhere in the process. The Council of State Governments, the American Probation and Parole Association, and the National Institute of Corrections have really assumed a leadership role in unifying the states and drafting this proposed legislation. In November of 99, the Council of State Governments held a legislative briefing, which three members of the South Dakota Legislature attended that. Representative Dunafin, Senators Whiting, and Senators Dugard participated in that briefing. As written, the provisions of this bill go into effect July 1 of this year or upon passage by the 35th state, whichever is latter, and then at the same time, the provisions of 2416 are repealed, so it would take away the old compact once the new one comes into effect. In the interim, South Dakota will continue to function under the old compact, under 2416. As Representative Dunafin also said, the existing compact is very old. It was written in 1937, and when you think about how much has changed since 1937, it's a two-page long document. It's very incomplete. It was written, you know, in the context where folks didn't even probably anticipate all the correctional issues that we have now. Does not address issues of victim notification, sex offender registry, or specific state laws regarding compact transfers. The revised compact, what it does in part is it does create a way to administer the compact. One of the major flaws of the current compact is there's no administering body. As I understand it, the American Probation and Parole Association has kind of stepped up to the plate and tried to administer it, but there's really no entity that's been given the authorization to administer it. So this bill creates an interstate commission, which is made up of one voting member from each state. That commission and its executive board and officers really create the operational framework for this. They have rulemaking authority, and the rules are really what will actually be the guts of the compact in terms of governing how people transfer back and forth. Each compacting state will also have a state council pursuant to this legislation. The state council is made up of representatives from each branch of government. It also has to have a victims rights group member on it, and the main interstate compact person for the state. The compact administrator, excuse me, I drew a blank when I was trying to think of the title. If South Dakota does not pass this compact, we will simply continue to function under our existing compact. And as more and more states pass the new compact, and when the 35th state does, then we would be able to play only with the remaining 15 states when it comes to moving prisoners around, is what it amounts to. We are very much in support of this legislation. I think it's as much for South Dakota's protection as it is for our ability to transfer, because this will also govern what kind of offenders can come into South Dakota, what kind of supervision they need to be under. There is a fiscal impact of this bill right now. South Dakota pays, I believe it's only $400 to support the American Probation and Parole Association's administering of the compact. Council of State Governments estimates it's going to be about $20,000 for South Dakota to participate in that. That would, of course, be split between the Department of Corrections and the Unified Judicial System, and that money exclusively goes really to the administration of the compact.
Thank you, Ms. Weber. Any additional proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dallas Johnson. I'm here on behalf of the Unified Judicial System. I am also the Compact Administrator for Adult Probation. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 28. We have reviewed this legislation and believe that it's prudent for South Dakota to participate in this act. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to proponent testimony and open it to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to opponent testimony and open it for questions and answers of the sponsor or anyone else for that matter. Representative Michaels.
Court. Is it the commission that has the ability to promulgate rules? Is that what you said? And I'm not finding that.
Yes, it is the commission versus the state council. If I can flip through the bill here a little bit, I might be able to locate that for you.
I am stuck because I'm focused on rules. That's what the speaker says.
Page 13. Is where it begins.
A follow-up, sir.
Yes, Representative Michaels.
I don't see the reference to 126.
Oh, excuse me. They are making rules under what I understand is the Federal Administrative Procedures Act.
Oh, I see. It's on 14 under the
top of
the ADA.
Page 14. Yeah, the section starts on page.
Is there any? And I understand you don't have legal representation here, but has there been any discussion about potential inappropriate delegation of authority on rulemaking? I mean, how would we ratify that here?
I don't have a very good answer to that because I am not an attorney. I know that this was put together by the National Institute of Corrections and the Council of State Governments with significant input from the states. As a matter of fact, Mike Binger, who used to be the state court administrator, was one of the folks that was pretty involved with it. So I have to, and I know assuming is always dangerous, but I have to assume that that question was addressed and it feels that, and feel that the rulemaking on the federal level is appropriate.
Could I flesh that out a little more?
Yes, Mayor.
Just very quickly, and I know you won't have the answer, so maybe somebody could follow it. We worked on the nursing compact last year, and the issue is a constitutional one of delegating our authority to a third body to promulgate rules that affect what transpires here.
Okay.
Without ratification, and as the speaker correctly noted, he's appointed me to the rules, and I have been on the rules with Representative Schmidt, and we're very focused on the fact that our authority as a legislature is being usurped somehow through rules, and there's always this constitutional issue, have we delegated to a third party?
Okay.
And so I just would ask if somebody could get back to us, and I know that Representative Schmidt is always very focused on that, and he will be our incoming chair, so thank you, sir.
Yep, I will find out.
Thank you very much.
Additional questions? Seeing none, I'll close the committee hearing to questions and allow Representative Donovan a couple moments for additional commentary.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think you can see the need for this act. We're hoping that it'll be ratified across the country to improve the flow of information and for the safety and well-being of our citizens as these numbers continue to grow. When this PAC was put in 1937, there's no way they could imagine the number that we would have traveling across the states, and I think this brings professionalism, brings information, and cooperation between the states, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. We'll now open the committee hearing to discussion and or action. Representative Donovan.
I move to pass, Mr. Chairman,
second
on Senate Bill 28.
Second.
Representative Donovan moves. Representative Michael seconds. Do pass motion on Senate Bill 28. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion on Senate Bill 28 shall say aye. Those opposed, no. And the Secretary shall call the roll.
Brown.
Aye.
Dunwalt.
Aye.
Donovan.
Aye.
Ekarius.
Aye.
Lenski.
Hanson.
Aye.
Jaspers.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Michaels.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.